Well, folks, this is Carl Valera with the Stuck Mike Avcast, here reporting for Sun and Fun Radio. We're out here on the Homebuilt line looking at this gorgeous little BK-1 sport plane, nice and shined up aluminum. And I'm actually here with Bob about talking about his BK-1. And tell us a little bit about your aircraft here.
Well, this is the BK-1 sport plane. This is the second version of it. I finished the first one in 2004 and flew it out here to Lakeland and also to Oshkosh a couple of times. And for the last few years, I've been working on a complete set of CAD plans and a very complete 10,000 picture builder's manual so that other people can experience the fun of having this sporty little aircraft in their garage, as it is. And I'm really happy to be here because this is a wonderful fly-in, and I'm getting lots of people coming out here and talking with me about it, and it's just been great. You know, the aircraft itself is very inexpensive to build, somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000. We'll get it to you all optioned out like this one with electric starter and dual ignition. And the flight characteristics are really pretty docile. It has a big fat wing like a Cherokee, and it actually is a lot of fun to fly. It doesn't take advanced pilot skills or anything, yet it's very quick on the controls, and it's just like wearing a pair of wings. It's so much fun to fly.
Well, one thing I noticed, I'm a little bit, let's say, chunkier individual, is and getting into this airplane, you'd think, gosh, it'd be tough to do, but it seems like you're pretty much about my size, maybe a little bigger. So how's it as far as useful load and carrying fuel, et cetera?
Yeah, I appreciate the great question. Yeah, most of the small aircraft in this class were designed by midgets. Well, as you can see, I'm no midget. And the first prototype has had several people sitting in it that were as tall as 6'4". I had a 6'2" person sitting in this one here a little bit earlier. It's actually got 52 inches of leg room, 40 inches of head room, and it's 26 inches wide. So it will take a large pilot. It also has enough capacity to carry a 250-pound pilot, 30 pounds of baggage, and 90 pounds of fuel, so you can fly 400 miles with reserves at another 400-mile stage length of your trip. And it's also it's been great because I can pack all my camping gear and go to a fly-in and be totally self-contained, and that's what I do. I there's not a pancake breakfast within 200 miles on the weekend that's safe.
I can understand that. Boy, I love pancake breakfast. Now, you said that as far as cargo, that's going to be out right behind the pilot seat there.
Okay. A lot of space behind the seat, but what I've done to make it simple for me is I put some drawer handles on the back of the seat, and I put my backpack back there and put the shoulder straps through there, so it makes it real easy to carry that load and not have it roll around in the back.
And jump in, jump out. I have to tell you, you're in a perfect spot. You have a great-looking airplane. You're also right outside the main gate for the home-built aircraft. That helps a little bit, but the shininess and the polished look is terrific.
Well, thank you. I love it, too. I think it is a lot more work to keep a polished aluminum airplane up, but it is sure worth the reward. I'm sure many people will probably be painting theirs, but I like mine this way.
Looks like there's a bit of a story behind this airplane, because something that I really believe in is that you should never give up on your dreams. And if you look at the placard on the front here, or the sticker, it says BK-1 sport plane. Don't give up your dreams. And what's the significance there?
There's a story behind that. I learned to fly when I was 18, and I got my pilot's license whenever I was 19 in 1969. By 1974, everything else like that priced me out of aviation. I didn't fly for 27 years, but I always wanted to. And one day, in 1998, I was driving home, and I looked up, and I saw a Cessna 150 flying over. And I looked up, and I said, I used to do that. And I really got a kind of a sad moment, kind of the Peggy Lee, is that all there is? I was 50 years old, and I felt like, man, will I ever do it? And I just heard a voice that said, don't give up your dreams. And about a week later, I bought a set of plans. And my first project, I worked on it for 1 year and 3 months, and I trashed it because I didn't like my workmanship. Then in 2000, I bought a set of plans for another aircraft, finished it, started flying in 2002, and I had 100 hours in my logbook in 2002 when I flew that airplane. That's and great. I flew it here in 2003, and now I have 700 hours in my logbook, and this is my third scratch-built airplane. This has been the greatest part of my life.
Now let's get back to that's a terrific story. So anybody listening to that, boy, you know, again, don't give up your dreams. I mean, you're a testament to that. As far as the costs and as far as designing this aircraft and building it. Now, as far as the design, you did this, and as far as the cost of building it for just anybody else, how much is it going to be, say, all told, how much time and money?
Okay, well, you start with the most basic hand prop version of it, and you can probably get it in for about anywhere from $11,000 to $12,000. This one is optioned out with dual ignition, electric start, so it's going to be a little bit more, so it'll come in about maybe $14,000 to $15,000.
That's an expensive boy. Yeah. That's terrific.
And well, the first prototype, the one that I flew up here in 2006, cost $8,000 to complete in 2004. It's not that there's any more airplane there. It's just that the cost of materials and everything has just gone up a lot in the last few years.
Now, how about someone, say, like myself or other people that are out here? There's a lot of manufactured planes here, and there's also a whole bunch of home builds. The person like myself looking at it for the first time, what type of advice would you give to that first-time builder?
It's really, I've heard this many times and I believe it very strongly. If you're going to hand build an aircraft, you're going to do a home build, you're going to build the aircraft because you love building. If you're going to try to build an airplane just because you want to fly, you probably won't have the perseverance to make it up. Matter of fact, they gave me the Perseverance Award for coming here saying, you're one of the ones that made it through the whole process and completed. But let me tell you, the first time you open the throttle and see yourself going over the trees at the end of the field, and you look down and remember all those rivets you ran and stuff like that, it is one wonderful feeling.
It sure does make it worth it, but I guess in the meantime, while you're building, you have to get your fix of flying some other way.
Well, that's true. I building my first airplane, again, it took me about 4 years to finally get into the air, but then I have an advantage. I have an operational aircraft in the hangar while I'm building my next one, and the same is true here. While I'm building this one, I still have my first one out there to fly, and I'm keeping them operational so that, yes, every once in a while, I do need my flying fix about maybe two or three times a month.
So when people are actually between airplanes, in your case, you're between physical planes. Instead of selling one and buying another, you actually have a few around.
Well, no, I was saying, my operational one, I would say at the time I'm building, after my first one, I've been able to fly the one that I already had, keep it out at the airport while continuing to work on my next one at the garage. Obviously, I love building. As soon as my nest is empty, I want to start something else, and I've actually already got another design on CAD that I'm going to start building as soon as I can.
Now, as far as the CAD, you had experience doing this before?
No, I pretty much self-taught. Now, as far as my aviation experience, I'm from an aviation family, air traffic controllers and jet pilots and stuff, and RC planes. I noticed a lot of home builders are RC flyers, and so I built a lot of radio control airplanes, and a lot of what I put in here came from that. I was an A&P mechanic for 9 years, and I got a chance to study aircraft up close and personal, and then as well, I've enlisted some of my friends who know aircraft to do stress analysis and stuff like that to make sure that we got the spar material thick enough and stuff for the amount of stress that we're going to fly. So I've had a lot of help from my other builder friends, as it is, to make sure that this is a good, safe design.
Well, great. Let's talk a little bit about the engine and some other design features here. What type of engine, propeller, and other things that you suggest they put on this aircraft?
I have been exclusively using engines from Great Plains. Steve Bennett has been in this business for over 30 years, and he is the recognized guru of Volkswagen conversions, and he provided me my first two. But when we were building this engine, we had some discussions with a good old friend of mine out in California named Bob Hoover, who has since passed away, and he's not the aerobatic one. He was trying to get us to turn the engine around and put the propeller on the strong end of the engine, which has been done on airboats for years, but they just haven't seen too many people do with aircraft. So working with Steve and all and doing some CAD work for him, we now have the propeller mounted on a stout hub on the flywheel end of the engine in a beautifully designed bed mount to hold the engine so that it is one of the smoothest installations I've ever seen. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And Steve is here too, because this is his first time to see what we've been collaborating on. He lives up in Nebraska and I live in Texas, but thank God for the internet, we've had a lot of fun getting this together.
That's
and
true.
So
now I noticed you're talking about the starter. Is that a different?
Yes, uh-huh. Well, you know, my first aircraft was the basic model, which was hand prop and single ignition. It was only for flying at daytime and stuff like that. And And people would come up, and one of the first questions they asked, can I get an electric starter? Can I get dual ignition? So I decided when I built the second prototype, I said, okay, I'm going to answer their question. It has electric starter and dual ignition both, plus a dual battery system. So you're guaranteed to have as good a redundancy as any factory plane has as far as making sure that you've got, you know, good, solid, reliable power. And everything in front of the firewall is basically available for all my builders from the Great Plains Aircraft Company.
You know, one of the things that struck me as I walked up to this aircraft we haven't talked about yet is the propeller. The propeller on this aircraft is wood, and the rest is all aluminum, shiny. It's kind of an interesting juxtaposition of two. Like, I seem like I'm looking at something really old and something really new.
That's a good question as well. The propeller was made by Ed Serba, who works directly with Steve Bennett in Great Plains, and it is a work of art. It's beautiful. And typically on especially smaller engines and ones like this Volkswagen, this propeller probably weighs about 4.5 pounds, where an aluminum propeller would probably weigh 2 or 3 times as much. So for these smaller engines, it's always been recommended to use the lighter wooden propeller. So that's why we're using it. And also, they're relatively inexpensive. They're only about maybe $300 or $400 and all like that. And they just make it run a lot smoother, especially with the smaller displacement engines.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell our audience about this aircraft that we may not have covered?
Well, I could say my real dream all along was sitting there in San Antonio was to fly to Lakeland and to fly to Oshkosh and enjoy this camaraderie. And the thing that struck me the most was when the first flight I took across country of this sort was to fly to Lakeland in 2003. And what I discovered on the way there was I kept landing at these little small airports out in the country, and the guys would walk up and look at my airplane, then hand me the keys to the car to go get a hamburger, you know. And when it was the end of the day, they would say, you got a place to stay? And it says, you can stay with me. Or they tell me where the $29 hotel was and stuff like that. It's just an amazing experience going cross country in a small plane. And then once you get here, it's like going into another world. I mean, everybody around here is here for the same reason, and it's like having a whole raft of friends. I mean, someone that would walk up to me in San Antonio that I would say hello and how do you do to, that would be about it. But if I'm here and we're both standing next to an airplane, we are immediately into a conversation about how we got here and what we do. So, I mean, I just love the camaraderie. This is so great. And I also will say this is probably just about my favorite flying. Not that I don't have anything for Oshkosh. Oshkosh is great because it's so big. And Lakeland is kind of more compact and more personal, and I really do like it.
Yeah, the camaraderie and the bonding here that goes on is one of my favorites too. And the fact that it also is my favorite flying, and that's why we're here today. Now,
yeah. Well, I'm meeting people here all week that I've met over and over again. It's like the only place that we ever see each other is either Lakeland or in at Oshkosh. I've got some Canadians parked next to me over here. I've got a guy from Maryland that's coming down in a day or two. I've been talking with a friend of mine that's building one of my airplanes in another city. It's a family reunion. It's fun.
It sure is. Gosh, what a great description, family reunion. Now, how can they reach you and just sum up again the price and the cost and how they can get in touch with you?
Okay, the best place to find out everything you need to know about this is go to BK Flyers, that's FLIERS, .com. That's where you'll find pictures and descriptions and movies and descriptions of my trips and stuff like that. It's just been my hobby gone fun.
Terrific. Well, this is Carl Valeri reporting for Sun and Fun Radio, and we're here right outside the home-built entrance, and it's the BK Flyer, the BK-1 sport plane. Gorgeous-looking plane. Like I said, a great juxtaposition between the propeller, which is wood, and the nice polished silver aircraft. And, Bruce, we really do appreciate your talking to us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here.